My name is Josephine Pusateri, and the scripture today comes from Genesis 1, 26 through 31. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." Then God said, "Look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals and birds in the sky and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life." And that is what happened. Then God looked over all he had made. He saw that it was good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the sixth day. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
What image do you want to protract? What image do you want to amplify? What image do you want to reflect today in your environment? Let's face it, did you look in the mirror this morning before you came to church and said, "You look good today"? My name is Keith Dalcom. I'm the lead pastor here at Palm Harbor, and we're in the second week of our series, Invitation, A Place to Begin. Most of us come here, have a relationship with Jesus Christ because we were invited here. Last week, we invited Brian Russell to speak here, and he did a good job, right? Those of you who are here, yeah. And we are reflecting his book, Invitation. And this is a 10-week study that we're doing in class on Wednesday evening. But the sermon series runs along with that. And this week, we'll be talking about an invitation to your image. Next week, invitation to the mission of God, an invitation to your mission. Invitation to who you are. What is it that really you want to look like? What is what you refract? What is it that you want to amplify in your life? What is it that you really want to reflect? Often when we look in the mirror, if you're like me, you're like, "Oh no, I got my spotty face going on. I don't like the way my hair looks this morning. I've still got that nasty lump on my elbow. I don't like my image." Sometimes, as we've grown up as sons and grandsons and daughters and granddaughters, we reflect or amplify things from our parents and from our grandparents that we don't really know that we know we're doing it. Some of those things are really good, and those are things that we should amplify in our life and we should do for the rest of our life. Other things, not so much. I don't know if you've seen that insurance commercial where, my favorite one, if I was going to buy some insurance, this would be the insurance that I would buy. And it's about Dr. Rick. And Dr. Rick helps people not be like the parents. Have you seen it? You know what I'm talking about? And he's talking to the middle-aged woman. He says, "You don't need all those cushions. Remove the cushions from the couch. Remove the cushions from the couch." And he's coaching her along. And then to the dad that allows everybody in the elevator, come on in. More the merrier. And he says, "Okay, we're going to do this again. We're going to go up and down the elevator again." And the insurance commercial says, "We can't stop you being like your parents, but we can give you insurance for your car and for your boat." Often there's things that we protract, that we amplify and that we reflect, and we don't know that we're doing it. My father, I don't know if you have a father or a mother or a grandfather or a grandmother who did these things. Every time my father couldn't find the remote control or his glasses, he'd be like, oh, what is it? Oh, I don't know where it is. Anyone seen it? And it's like a big commotion kind of. Anyone ever had? Yeah. And when he was really mad, he starts banging the kitchen cabinets around. Where is it? I can't find it. Later, when I got married to Julie, and I was in the kitchen, and yeah, you guessed that, I was slamming the kitchen cabinets. I was mad at something. I was pushing things around, and my Julie says to me, a young new wife says to me, what are you banging the kitchen cabinets for? And I says, I don't know. I don't know why I'm banging the kitchen cabinets. Later, we had children, which, by the way, if you don't want people to reflect what bad stuff is in you, don't have children. My second child, I seen him in the kitchen one day. And what was he doing in the kitchen? Banging the kitchen cabinets. And, you know, it was a busy day, kids around, you know, stuff going on. I didn't think for once it might have had anything to do with me. Jack, what are you doing? Stop slamming the kitchen cabinets. What are you doing that for? He said, that's what you do. Oh. What is it that you want to show others? What kind of image do you want to amplify in your life? What kind of image do you want to reflect? Are you happy with your image? The image of God was read to us really well through Josephine Busateri, and it shows us how we're created. So we're right in the beginning of our Bibles in Genesis. So if you have a physical book, now's the time to get it out. Right in the beginning, really easy, Genesis chapter 1. If you're on your phone, just type it in there, Genesis 1. If you're far along the long line, and please follow with us, Genesis chapter 1. I promise you, you are going to see something different this week. I promise you. So Genesis 1, as you know, it was where God created the earth. We believe that God created the earth, and we have an image there of what God wanted for us. On the first day, of course, he created what? Sorry? The heavens and the earth. Day one, he created the heavens and the earth. Then after that, he created the sky. It's right there, written there for you. And on the next day, he created the sea. Praise the Lord, 71% of it. The sea, he created all of this things that we still have not fathomed. 1% we've only fathomed of the sea. On day two, he created the sky. Day three was the earth, the sea. Day four, the sun, the moon. Day five, birds and fish. And day six, animals and people. Mankind, human beings, male and female, and actually the word there is Adam, Ha-Adam, which means a different type of existence, a different type, not animals, but humans. And when you're reading your Bibles, when you're reading your Bible, I hope you imagine what this might have been. And I want you to look at this a little different as we look at Genesis today. And you might not look at it in a while. So we pick up the text, in verse 26. Verse 26 says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, and all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings, Adam, Ha-Adam, in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Now, if you look back in your text, you'll notice something a little different in the way this verse is written. All before this, God has said, the author has said, that God has said, let the, verse 9, let the, verse 11, let the land sprout vegetation, let lights appear, let these things, let the waters swarm, let things do things, let the skies, let the earth produce. And then when we get to verse 26, what does it say? Let us. The pronoun becomes plural. Now, I hope when you're reading your Bibles, you're using your own imagination, and you can think of God, you know, okay, we'll create those things, and all of a sudden he looks around and he's like, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they all turn to each other. Okay, now what we are going to do? We created all this, now what we are going to create? Now we are going to create something amazing. He says, let us create what? Human beings, a totally different type of creation. Create them how? What are they to be? In our image. In our image. In the image of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's create them like us. And what's the first thing we're to do? He's thinking about it. He's thinking about creating. What are we to do? We're to reign. We're to reign over the things he's created. That's royal language. It's like the king saying, you now have the responsibility to take care of these things. So take care of the earth, the sea, the fish, the birds. And for some reason, it adds on small animals that scurry along the ground, which for that, I'm thinking the Hebrew really was cats. Yeah, you've even got to take care of cats. Look after them, reign over them, do unto them as you would like done to you. Pick up the trash occasionally. Look after things. Look after what I'm... So he's saying, I'm probably going to do this. So God created, verse 27, God created human beings in what? In his own image. So this is the second time he said it verse 27. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So three times, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit say in these two verses, I'm creating them, you, all of you, in my image, in the image of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That means that each and every one of us has some attributes of God. It means that each one of you has these key things to reflect, amplify, and reflect. Now, this is not new language, even for ancient Mesopotamia, even for all the way back 9,000, 4,000 years, whatever you want to put in there. We can talk about that in deep Bible study on Wednesday. But for today, we have always had images that we want to lift up and amplify. I've gotten the oldest one for you today to show for you. This is the oldest ever image, the oldest ever idol that we have that came to us in Mesopotamia. This is 9,000 years old, apparently. And this is, anyone know who it is? Efer, the great Mesopotamian idol. Found 9,000 BC, apparently, before pottery. So we can see that people always had images and kings to look up to amplify, and to personify, even way back then. I've got another one here. This next one is Enlil. En means, in Sumerian, literally means Lord. And this one's found 2400 BC, he was the ruler, considered the ruler of the earth, the storms, and it was one of the major Babylonian gods. And now this next one is one that you might have seen or sort of in a Bible study. This is the one in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Nebuchadnezzar had other statues around, gold statues, and he asked that everybody bow down or they'll die. Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, said, I am not bowing down to this. And you may know the rest of the story. Nebuchadnezzar ends up worshiping our God. Now, we don't lift up statues these days. We don't lift up things and say, hey, I want you to amplify this image. We don't say, hey, reflect this God. But we do fashion our own gods. Yeah, one of the gods that is fashioned in football or soccer is Jose Mourinho. And it was his birthday, and there was some posts going around for him. And so Jose Mourinho dos Santos Mourinho, he's a, I don't know, this is the manager. It was, what do you do right here? He was a manager of Man United, Chelsea, and Real Madrid. He's like, in football, he's done so amazing things. He's 80. League titles and 13 trophies and loads of other accomplishments to boot. And this week they asked him, like, what do you think about God, Jose? And he says this in the Instagram post, he must really think I'm a great guy. He must think that, because otherwise he would not have given me so much. I have a great family. I work in a place where I've always dreamt of working. He has helped me out so much that he must have a very high opinion of me. Jose Mourinho is a god in soccer. We have fashioned these people. We've lifted him up to say, this is who we want to be like. We want to be the most exalted manager, the most exalted coach. And we lift people up and say, hey, we want to reflect these kind of people. We want to amplify the kind of qualities that these have. We want to project this image. And God says, I want to invite you to your image. Whatever it is that you don't like about your spotty face, your hair, or the lump on your arm, God says what? I'm creating you to be like us. Don't miss that. Verse 26. Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. And what does that mean to be like God? Do we look like Jose Mourinho? Do we look like Enlil? Do we look like these gods that we fashioned? It means that you have been created with the same attributes that God has. Some of them are the things that get excited when we know that others have them too. Intelligence, knowledge, spiritual understanding, creativity, you're all creative. Wisdom, love, the ability to love, compassion, holiness, and justice. In the Latins, they would say that you have the imagio Deo. You have the footprint of God on your life. You are created in the image of God. And what else are we to do? Verse 28, he said, oh yeah, by the way, then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry on the ground. So he gave us a job and he blessed them. He said, go have children. Yay! Just what he should have added there was, don't have four children. Two hands, people, two hands. But if you can't have children, you don't have children, do not want to have children, it's been difficult for you to have children in your life, you probably don't want them anyway, pour your image into the children around here, like young Josephine that stood here. Pour the image of God into those people. Pour what the attributes that God has placed in you, especially the personal ones, into our children. Because our children need to know they are created in the image of God. Amen? Verse 29. Then God said, look, I've given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Everything that has life. And that's what happened. So that's the third time. First time he says, I'm going to do it. Second time he said, hey, this is a good idea. And then the third time he says, you're up. Humanity, women, men, take care of what God has given you. Take care of this beautiful earth. take care of what everything that I have created. I've given you all that you need to take care of it. Plants, and food, and trees. Take care of it. And then God looked over all that he'd made. God looked over all he made. He said, behold, check this out. I've got this amazing thing for you. Reflect the nature of God. Reflect what God has placed in you to others. Reflect the image of God in you. Amplify that. Reflect that onto other people. And then he said, verse 31, then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was what? Very good. It was very good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the sixth day. Said there, it was good. Very good. And it's the first time in Genesis that we use the word tov. It's a simple Hebrew word. Tov means a few things more than just good. It means, these are just a few of them, pleasant, beautiful, handsome, kind, delightful. It's like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit folded their arms and looked at each other and said, yeah, that's good. That's good. You are good. You've been created by the likeness of God. You have these qualities in you. You're creative. You're beautiful. You're handsome. You're the people that God has created so that you might reflect that image to other people. Amen? You want other people to know the same qualities that get excited in you. And you know they're good. You know that God created these things and placed them in either. It's like a switch that goes on your head. It's like, oh yeah, I know. This is good. It's very good. Never in the history of the world have we looked at our faces so much as we do now. Remember, if you want to know what you look like in the morning, you would look at the mirror, you know, in the bathroom. Now we're constantly looking at ourselves on our phone. Everywhere we go. And we're constantly aware of our image. Constantly aware of how we look. Used to take one photo. Now we take 20. Don't like that one. Don't like that one. Don't like that one. That one. Never before have all of us looked at our image so much. And we are so concerned with the image that we are reflecting. We're so concerned with the image that we are protracting. We're so concerned of what we amplify. God says, I want you to amplify me. I've placed this in you. Each and every one of you have this image, you're created by. And this is the invitation today. The invitation is to know your image. The invitation is to know that your image is created, that you have the imago Dei in your life. James Emery White is a pastor in North Carolina. He runs this church called Meckleburg. It's very successful. And he runs a blog post and talks a lot each week about church and culture and how they intersect. And on his blog post last week, he was talking about image and talking about beauty. And he quotes Jennifer Garner. Jennifer Garner is an actress who's in 13, going on 30, and Juno, movies like this. And she says she always gets asked beauty advice, and here's her response. Here's my response to those who ask me for beauty advice. Look in the mirror less. Obsess less. And look at the rest of the world to see what you could be using your time for instead. And we all look on our faces more than people used to. and it doesn't do you any good. She's right. We know that we want to protect what we are amplifying. We want to protract an image of, well, we've got it all figured out. We want to amplify the things in our life that everything's going well. We want an image that reflects that we're sure and secure. And yet God says, you are created in my image. Now, if you've got your phone with you today, I want you to take it out. I know you've got your phones with you. Open it and go to the photo mode. Go and put it on selfie mode and put it on video mode. And then take a video. If you're not doing it, do it now. Say this. Point right at your camera and say, you are created in the image of God. Say it with me. Ready? 3, 2, 1. You are created in the image of God. And save it for later. Save it for later when you're feeling low. Save it for later when somebody else is saying something else about your image. Save it when someone says, you are worthless. You are worth nothing. What you said to me really hurt me, and you are worthless. You are created in the image of God. And this is what you are to reflect. This is what you are to amplify. And this is what we are to protract throughout the nation of Palm Harbor. Prepare yourself as we think about our image, as we take communion together.
All are invited. Hear Christ's invitation this morning. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us take a moment of silent confession. Hear the good news. Christ our Lord died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so now we join with your people and all the company of earth and heaven. We praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. And on the night which he gave himself up for as he took bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread, gave it to each of his disciples who were made in the image of God, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.